You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
I'm sorry, you can sit there and look and play with all your silly machines as much as you like.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
And tame and tame again.
Crank up the music! Charge your glass! This nation is going to dance all night!
RIP Soccer AM, but what's the most Soccer AM lineup imaginable? The Messi of maths and his equivalent of a cold, wet Tuesday night in Stoke. Every wacky Friday Premier League press conference answer ever. Some very alternative goal commentary from the Nottingham Forest archives. Who's the tidiest player in the Premier League? And an unexpected name pops up in Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 243 of Football Clichés. I'm Adam Hurry and with me for this Thursday adjudication panel is Charlie Eccleshare. How's it going?
Very well. How are you?
I'm pretty good actually. As to is Dave Walker, I hope.
Yeah, very good.
Good. Let's do this. A really strong Thursday adjudication panel as well. Let's kick off with the breaking news. Well, to an extent, the axing, Dave Walker, of Soccer AM. A sad day or something that's just been coming, really, do we think?
Well, I think it is. I mean, sad, obviously, for the people who are losing their jobs. But if you look at the reaction online, the overriding tone has not been an outcry. It's not been, oh, I can't believe they're doing this, we need to save it, which is oft, sometimes happens when shows and things, institutions get cancelled. It's more been, oh, this is sad. I am sad about this, but I haven't watched for years and it's probably time.
Yeah. Slash even the reaction, which was more mine, which was similar to when I found out Emmanuel Adebayor was retiring early this week, a sort of, has that not happened already? I was slightly surprised Soccer AM was still going, I have to say. It does feel like a bit of an anachronism.
It started to shorten, didn't it?
And, it did, yeah.
I don't know what state it's currently in. I haven't watched it for so long, so I don't know how long the current programme is. But it does feel like it's reached its natural time limit. So I was recently on IMDb, actually, Dave, looking through the cast and crew of Soccer AM since its very first episode. Now, if we assume that IMDb is definitive and is exhaustive, I want to try and put together the statistically proven ultimate Soccer AM lineup.
The guests. Pure Soccer AM 11.
We are doing an 11 after all. We've always got there. That wouldn't have been a bad show, actually. We should have done that. What a good idea. So I can tell you that the most common non-sporting guest on Soccer AM was, who do we think?
Non-sporting?
So, yeah. Who's pure Soccer AM?
Is it a musician of some sort?
Good. It's like through the keyhole, this, isn't it?
Yeah. Who would that be?
Come on, I know the answer to this. I'm going to let Charlie take this, but come on. You really will kick yourself if you don't get it.
Yeah, you co-host this little quiz with me, Dave. Come on.
Someone from Kasabian, something like that?
You can see why you've gone there, because of the famous Serge volley, and he has been on a lot. But you've got to think about the longevity of this show. Who's somebody that would have been on early days and is still relevant now?
Good value, always good value. Very much tied to a specific club, always good value. Quite outspoken at times.
And, is it one of the Gallaghers? Noel Gallagher.
It's Noel Gallagher. Yes, very good. I wouldn't have said this was particularly obvious, Charlie, but who do you think is the most common guest on Soccer AM of other sports? So another sportsman that isn't football. You might even just want to guess the sport, maybe.
See, do you know who I would have guessed for this? And this is not the correct answer, but I would have guessed Ricky Hatton for this.
Great shout, yeah.
But it's not him. I'm thinking
the most... I mean, boxing is a good sport. Would it be golf? The most sort of Soccer AM adjacent sport?
Golf is correct.
But then who... So it's got to be someone with good... You don't really think of golfers as being particularly banterous.
A real Ryder Cups. Yeah. A real Ryder Cupsman as well.
Yes, I know. Ian Poulter.
Yes, yep. Ian Poulter is the top sportsman.
Because isn't he also famously a big Arsenal fan?
Yeah.
He must be. He's very Arsenal, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Top band that's been on Soccer AM. Now, at this point, I think the data is a bit sketchy. I think there are huge holes in this, but we have to go with IMDb because we have no other public record. Top band on Soccer AM since its inception.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got this, but it kind of makes sense. But
a longer serving band than... It's not Kasabian. They're a longer serving band, if you can use that phrase, than Kasabian.
And I suppose they're at the level that they're not too big for Soccer AM.
Correct. Yeah, we're not talking U2 here.
It's not Oasis.
No. Not 100 million miles away, I guess.
They've been knocking around for a while in that sort of indie space.
I can give you another clue. It is the Plurals.
I don't know. Go on.
The Charlatans.
The Charlatans, yeah.
They are the most billed on IMDb as themselves on Soccer AM since it was first started. Okay, let's get into the real nuts and bolts of this. Top footballer. It's jointly held by two footballers. Have been on Soccer AM the most.
Not including Jimmy Bullard.
Presumably. Not including Jimmy Bullard. He is classified as either recurring gimmick guy or
presenter.
And he was
the host. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he was the presenter, wasn't he?
Yeah. One of them is elite level, but still quite chatty, almost famously chatty, conversationally, in a way. Another one is more kind of looser era Premier League, larger-than-life character.
It's not Jamie Redknapp. He wouldn't
Jamie Redknapp is smack bang in the middle of those two players. It is basically you couldn't get more equidistant.
Yeah, it's true. He's 100% mates with both of them.
Related to one of them.
And played with the other.
Yeah. So related must be Frank Lampard.
Correct.
Yep.
That's slightly surprising. That must be heavily weighted towards the early part of his career.
I do wonder if he's just appeared in segments, but it's hard to tell. So we'll just have to go with it.
Yeah. And then the other one. Did you say larger than life? I bet I know. Razor Ruddock.
It is indeed. Neil Ruddock. Only three more of these to go. Top actor. Who's been on Soccer AM the most out of the acting fraternity?
This is so good, this one.
I would say Vinnie Jones, but that would be a bit of a
Again,
cheat.
Not a galaxy away from what we're talking about.
Jason Statham?
No, keep going. A little bit more prestigious than those two.
Ray Winston?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are.
Come on.
Top women's footballer?
Alex Scott?
No. I think Alex Scott did some presenting on Soccer AM as well for a bit, which might sort of rule her out as well.
Karen Carney?
Still playing.
Diminutive schema.
Member of the women's victorious women's Euros team.
Fran Kirby?
Correct! Excellent work. Now, one more for you to get. Right, the top actress in Soccer AM history in terms of guest appearances. A soap actress has moved on to musicals since.
Yes.
Not Martine McCutcheon.
Like the northern Martine McCutcheon, basically.
Right, yeah, who because Martine McCutcheon does fit that description. I think I know the person you're talking about, but I can't place her.
I know from that you know who it is.
Was this actress Hollyoaks or Brookside?
Brookside.
Brookside, yeah.
I know it is, but I'm not going to get the name, I don't think.
The answer you're looking for is Claire Sweeney.
Sweeney! Yes, I knew some of those names.
So what lineup this is on Soccer AM today? Noel Gallagher, Ian Poulter, The Charlatans, Neil Ruddock, Frank Lampard, Ray Winston, Fran Kirby, and Claire Sweeney. That should be the lineup for the last show. Smash
That's
it.
Class.
That is class, isn't it? On a more semi-serious note, Dave, cliché's occasionalist, Michael Cox, has opined this. He says, it's interesting that your Skies, etc., have basically given up on making shows around football, kind of football adjacent stuff. No one really watches Football Focus anymore, and even then, that's quite reviewy in its own way. It just seems to be sort of live games or Match of the Day, and there's fancy football on Sky, of course. But Dave, do you think are we seeing sort of a slow death of the football adjacent TV programme, and is it a shame?
I think we are seeing a slow death. I don't know. I think there are still programmes out there, but the landscape's changed. That's the thing. The heyday of a show like Soccer AM, one of the things you'll see a lot if you click on Soccer AM on Twitter today on the trending topic is, oh, this used to be the start of my footballing weekend.
Yeah,
I used to be part of my routine. And that, as a concept, doesn't really exist anymore because everything's become so fragmented. General interest shows, they only serve like the sort of BBC One audience now, really, don't they? If you're that interested in football, you can get everything you want from your club podcast, from YouTube, from us, from whatever else, whether other platforms that are out there. So it's harder to do a sort of catch-all magazine-style show around the football, I think.
Also, Charlie, in its heyday, we're talking about a 3-4 hour show. And now if we employ the En Vogue argument that, you know, kids these days, they don't want to sit there and watch anything for 3 hours. Does that apply to Soccer AM? I would have thought that would have been the most appealing show they could have had.
Yeah, I mean, did people watch the whole thing? It felt always more sort of you dipped in and out. And you knew when the segments that you really wanted, you know, when Showboat and things like that were going to be.
That's true. Yeah, I think I clocked out the last hour. It's a bit like, it was like the banter equivalent of Monday Night Football, Dave. I wouldn't watch the last hour of Soccer AM. I'm done with it now. I've had my fill. Like, they've had all the good bits.
Yeah.
Now it's just going to be, finally, we are going to have that contractually obliged chat with Claire Sweeney about her upcoming musical.
I mean, you mentioned Showboat, Charlie. Like, you see clips of people doing skills every single day if you're on Twitter or Instagram or football, TikTok even. Like, it's just all there for you. So then, in some respects, they've been on a hiding to nothing for years. They can never sort of compete with the glory days, despite their best efforts.
Yeah, although I still think things like that, nicely curated and packaged for you, still have some value because they give it a bit of a structure rather than just sort of scrolling through Twitter, Instagram,
right,
and seeing, you know, for the millionth time, here's that Ronaldinho goal against Chelsea or whatever.
Anyone up for a sort of live Saturday morning cliches?
For 3 hours.
If The Athletic don't do it, Talk Sport will. Maybe Greatest Hits Radio will take us.
Obviously, I think we're two old lads already.
Yeah, no. Fair enough.
They've already marked it down, haven't they, for like Saturday social with kind of YouTube personalities. So I think that's the way it's going.
Fair enough. Good luck to them. And I mean that in the keziest way possible. Right, a little follow-up from Tuesday's chat, once again about cathedrals of sport. And Dave, we dismissed out of hand the prospect of there being a cathedral of Formula One.
I know, well, and I'm really annoyed about that because I did, what you're about to say did genuinely cross my mind at the time.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, hell hath no fury like a Formula One aficionado scorned, because we had literally 4 people get in touch about this, one of which was Scott Mitchell Malm, who says the Monza circuit is called the Temple of Speed. It is also occasionally referred to as the Cathedral of Speed, but much more rarely, the Temple of Speed. I went to the Temple of Speed once. How do you feel about that, Dave? Does it do justice?
As I said, the thought part crossed my mind, but I was actually thinking of the Nürburgring, I think, in Germany, like one of those old, there are a few old tracks, and like Spa in Belgium, there are a few old tracks still knocking about,
like
from like the sort of Stirling Moss days and all that. But Monza is the one, I suppose, yeah. And it kind of, again, like similar to what I was saying about golf, it's not a direct analogy. Obviously, it's not a building, but it does have the historic element of it, more so than, I don't know, somewhere like Old Trafford does or whatever.
Scott continues, Charlie, and says, first, it's literally the fastest track in Formula One in terms of time spent at full throttle and average speeds. I'm getting very Partridge reading from Top Gear magazine here. It says, with long flat-out sections and not many corners at all. I suppose that all does add up. It's the Rolls-Royce of Formula One tracks, I guess. So that's, it's very old circuit.
Says, hold on. The Rolls-Royce of Formula... That's opening another can of worms entirely there.
I don't want to. That's a can of I don't want to get into, but you know, it's got history, Charlie, and it has a functional significance to Formula One, and apparently it's extremely important to Ferrari fans, who dominate the attendance every year. It's astonishing how many tifosi go to the race. It's just a sea of red. So now we're into kind of cathedral territory. That's the sort of thing you'd expect to see at a football stadium worthy of cathedral name. So maybe Monza,
like a load of cardinals.
Seems to tick all the boxes. Fair play to Monza.
Finally, Charlie Rees gets in touch and says, not Formula One, but in MotoGP, Dave, the Dutch racetrack Assen is commonly known as the Cathedral of Speed due to its fast-track layout and being on the calendar since 1949. So there you go. Sorry, Formula One and other associated motorsports, from us. And it's the last time we'll ever discuss you. Next up, Simon1927 gets in touch, Charlie, and says, hope this isn't too late, but I just overheard 2 colleagues in my office have the following conversation. The lifts were ridiculously busy this morning as I was queuing for ages. Colleague 2, I took the stairs for my sins. That is possibly one of the flimsiest examples I've ever heard.
Yeah. But good to hear that in such a sort of bland kind of setting. Yeah, I don't think that quite qualifies. It depends how long the stairs were, I suppose, but...
Are they implying that sort of, you know, they suffered for the art of getting upstairs? Is that...
For the art.
But that leads us, in a roundabout way, into For My Sins Corner, and it is an epic. This came from listener Jill Scott, who was watching unbelievably bad Netflix game show Cheat, co-hosted by Danny Dyer, whose Danny Dyerness is like 11 out of 10 on this. And here we go. No hovering over the timeline of the video, Dave, to get to ascertain an approximation of how long the video might be and therefore tune your guess accordingly. Let's go.
Ellie, are you ready to meet our players hoping to leave here with some big money?
Absolutely.
Right then, Fraser, Lisa Jane, Jess, T'Challa. Welcome to Cheat. Fraser, you're from Sussex and you run an online maternity business. But more importantly, how tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
Yeah. You're a big old unit, aren't you? Are you a big old cheat as well?
I don't want to give too much away.
OK. I hear you're a world-class rower. You know.
No, it's a rower.
What?
It's a rower.
That's the one.
You're a pretty good rower, by the sounds of it, Fraser.
I was lucky enough to represent Great Britain a couple of times, so did a European Championship.
Oh, I nearly went then.
Thank you. Lisa Jane.
Nice way of putting it.
You're
Thank you, Dave.
A fitness trainer from London. I love that. How's being a fitness trainer going to help you tonight, though?
I have seen hundreds of clients lie to me over the years about doing their exercises, what they've eaten, so I can spot when someone's not telling me the truth.
Lisa Jane, good luck.
Thank you.
Jess!
Hello.
You're a Scottish firefighter. And I hear your husband is old Bill, is that right?
That's correct. There's a little bit of rivalry in our household around who works for the best emergency service.
Yes, yeah. I suppose it depends if you've had your car nicked or your house is on fire. Though, Good luck.
Thanks.
T'Challa.
Hello, Danny.
You're a teacher right. from Kent. It's what subject be him. Do you teach?
I teach science.
For my sins?
My sins.
Yes!
And I think you're a bit TikTok famous. You're yeah. proper down with the kids.
I do a lot of videos in terms of revision, careers advice, that sort of thing.
You could see it developing.
Yeah, wow. Fair play.
That was amazing.
Well done. Probably the longest form of sins we've had, but worth it. And well done, Charlie.
You're right. I mean, incredible stuff from Dyer there.
Yeah.
It was really long, but then...
Really on one.
He just banged it out to T'Challa straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, a completely ludicrous Netflix show as well. It's got canned laughter instead of a live audience. Each episode has like a really bantery title instead of just being episode 2, 3, and 4. They've all got like just... You know, variants on what's going on here. And
what's the premise? You have to guess when someone's lying or something.
Yeah, basically, you either know the answer to a question, or the answer will come up on a screen, or you can choose for the answer to come up on your little screen, and you can fake knowing it, and people then have to guess whether you faked knowing it. It's about as convoluted as you can imagine, but yeah, Dyer very much the vehicle for that. Well done. Who wants a little bonus round? Actually, little quick one for you. This came from Chris Hatcher. Here's Arsenal fan and Steve Boulder-like Mark Strong on The One Show.
On another note, big Arsenal fan, I hear.
Yeah.
Good times for yourself at the minute. You must be enjoying life.
Very
top
good
of
times.
The table.
Whisper it quietly.
But you also play a bit yourself as well, don't you?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
kind of...
Yeah, that was just a whisper it quietly, I'm afraid.
Lovely.
Charlie, did he deploy whisper it quietly well there, do you think? Are Arsenal whisper it quietly now? I think they're post whisper it quietly, personally.
They've moved on. I mean, if you remember at the start of the season, I think we noticed their first three games all had a whisper it quietly. But I think, yeah, now they're beyond that. I mean, I think he means it in a superstitious, we don't want to say we're in it because that might jinx it kind of way,
sure.
which is a little bit different.
Yeah, but not champions elect, Dave.
No. No.
Absolutely right. Quite right indeed. All right, let's move on to some more bread and butter matters. News has reached me that Argentinian Luis Caffarelli has won the Abel Prize. Now, this is the Nobel Prize equivalent, essentially, of maths. What do you reckon the nickname has been given to Argentinian Luis Caffarelli of mathematics fame?
I did see this earlier, so I won't shout it out. I'll let Dave have a guess, but I did love it.
It's the Messi of maths.
It's the obviously. Messi
it's
of,
the Messi of maths.
Now, Dave, great guess. Of course, it was the Messi of maths. And, you know, he's Argentinian, so it helps. But for anyone who thought, this seems quite lazy, just labelling the Messi of maths just because he happens to be good at maths. Well, let's dive into this a little bit more.
But has he been waiting his whole career just to win this? Has this sealed it? Has this sealed his legacy, winning the Abel Prize? He won everything else he could win before this.
It does sound like a crowning moment. He's got, you know, his CV is as long as your arm. And he's achieved a hell of a lot at the age of 74. So this does feel like a crowning moment for him. But the inevitable question comes from the Messi of maths, Charlie, is what's the maths equivalent of a wet Tuesday night in Stoke? Where's the best place to look for this? So I went to the Wikipedia list of unsolved problems in mathematics. quite a lot of them. So there's quite a lot of, you know, holy grails in mathematics, you know, and one of them is the Navier-Stokes existence and smoothness problem.
Wow.
There you go.
That's an amazing coincidence.
Yeah. It's about a system of partial differential equations that describe the motion of fluid in space. Solutions to the Navier-Stokes equations often include turbulence, which remains one of the greatest unsolved problems in physics, despite its immense importance in science and engineering. So that's the wet Tuesday night in Stoke of mathematics. The Navier-Stokes existence and smoothness problem.
Wow. My question was going to be whether there was a sort of Ronaldo equivalent.
I've just the reason I've been slightly distracted during that last answer, Adam, is that I've just gone onto the Wikipedia page, 21st century Portuguese mathematicians.
Yeah.
But none of them
there's a Figo in there.
None of them seem to be quite on Luis Caffarelli's level, I have to say.
He's clear, is he? Yeah.
It looks like it, yeah.
Right. Excellent. Okay.
André Neves has solved the Willmore conjecture, whatever that means.
What a really wolvesy name he's got. He'll be Wolves' in-house mathematician by the end of the week, no doubt. Meanwhile, this week, Patrick Vieira sacked as Crystal Palace manager, Charlie. Jack Pierce writes in, says, Palace have received criticism that Patrick Vieira was sacked over the phone. What is the etiquette for sacking managers? And are any examples of it being done the right way? So, I mean, a face-to-face is the right way. That's the classy way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That's the showing maximum respect and fronting up. Yeah, that.
Where, you know, though? Like, where should it be done face to face?
Training ground.
Yeah, at the training ground, in the chairman's office, if he has one at the training ground.
After being summoned. But you get summoned, and that to me sounds a little bit, it's too ominous. I suppose you should go to their house and do it.
Surprise
Steve Parrish, them. You could have gone to Vietnam. Is that hot? Is that worse?
Yeah, turn up unannounced and give them their marching orders.
Neutral location, restaurant.
Meet for a coffee somewhere in Croydon.
Like a diner. In heat or something like that. We're just leaning across the table and look, I'm really sorry. It's a results business and you're gone. Yes, of course, Vieira is gone. And in comes Roy Hodgson. And Roy Hodgson's back, Dave. And he's answering innocuous Sky Sports news questions in precisely the manner you'd expect from Roy Hodgson.
How does it feel to be back at Crystal Palace?
Feels very good, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Was it a difficult decision to make?
No, not at all.
How long did it take you to make the decision to return to the club?
I don't know. I didn't quantify it in terms of time, but I was...
Absolutely not entertaining any shit whatsoever, and that's just how I want him to be.
I mean, I'm going to stick up for Roy here, loathe though I am to do that after last season's debacle.
Oh yeah, after he ignored all the Watford fans at Selhurst. Awful.
It's not the follow-up question you go with there, I don't think. He's just told you it was an easy decision. Don't ask him how long.
You need a microscope to examine the shrift that Hodgson gave that question, Charlie. It's wonderful, it really was.
Quantify it in terms of time.
Yeah. Great, isn't it? Dad doesn't give a shit. He just wants to get on with things, and that's fine. But my mind has been preoccupied in the last few days about offbeat questions to Premier League managers, Charlie. And the most notable arena for this is the Friday Premier League press conference, where there's always one sort of wacky question that gets asked because it's in the news cycle generally. And they always ask all 20 managers what they think about it. It can be something serious, you know, something that's gone on in the world, or it can be something, you know, notable. Here's a pre-meltdown Antonio Conte talking about Julia Roberts.
Yeah, but I remember because Julia Roberts came also when I was in Chelsea. Yeah, and I watched the game, and then I had the possibility to know her into the dressing room. Yeah, and but it's good that an important person like Julia Roberts likes no football. I think it's important for football.
What I like about this one, Charlie, is that most managers have a sort of distinct gear change when they get asked the wacky Friday press conference question. Conte answered that in just exactly the same way as he normally does, which is really, really good. Just took it right really seriously.
As if it is a serious question.
Yeah, as if he was being linked with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, it can be quite hard for them to step out of that mode because they don't, especially if English isn't their first language, they don't want to be tripped up.
That's true.
So it's kind of easier to just stay in earnest. No, but you know, I think it's a good thing for the game kind of mode.
Yeah, I wanted to keep this for when you were back because I feel like this might be your ballpark. This might be your, what do people say? Wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse?
Yes, I don't like wheelhouse, but it might be your wheelhouse, this. I want you to answer one of these questions in the style of a Premier League manager being asked at a Friday press conference. And I want you to display the gear change that I'm talking about. Let's go with this. This came from Dickie, and his question is, and lastly, Charlie, Mikel Arteta let slip in the week that he enjoys nothing more than a bit of Montel Jordan. This is how we do it in the car on the way back after a victory. Which track is first on in the Eccleshare car after a Saturday afternoon win?
Depends on the result, but listen, I'd probably something like the Beatles would be would stick that on. But now, listen, you know, ultimately you've just got to go out there and perform every game and, you know, the music will take care of itself.
Excellent. That's a wonderful finish. Listen, Dave, is a key part of this, isn't it? Because you're just bringing it all back down to earth again. It's not quite Lampardian. It's just a bit like, yeah, come on, lads. We've had our fun here, haven't we?
Yeah.
I put it to you both that 90% of these questions at Friday press conferences in the Premier League can be answered with a simple, well, you know, it's the world we live in, I'm afraid.
I can imagine Sean Dyche getting really stuck into this. He'd be like, oh, you know, love a bit of Simple Minds.
Tina Turner.
Yeah, like, we'll just pick some sort of 80s band or something and can't beat it. Win, lose, or draw.
Belting it out on the M24. I don't know if that's a motorway. Could be.
The M24.
Right. Let's have a look.
It probably is, but it's the most unfortunate one. Forever overshadowed.
The M24 doesn't exist. There is no M24. So I fucked it. Doesn't matter. Just to finish off part one of the adjudication panel, here is a Premier League manager given a very testing situation. This is to do with the Premier League's recent tie-in with Ted Lasso. And Graham Potter was asked a question about a Ted Lasso character and essentially had to answer in character as himself, as if he was on the show. Now, that sounds like a really tricky challenge to me. This is how he did it.
Well, I think all of our supporters will be happy to see Roy back at Stamford Bridge. They respect the job that he did here, that what he achieved is a fantastic player for us. But, you know, it's a game. We're competitive. He's the opposition. So whilst we'll give him a nice reception, we want to beat him. I think Ted's done a really good job at Richmond. But I think the game is a different level for him. I think it's a step up. I think he's going to come to a proper football club. And he's going to experience a proper game. I hope he's ready for it.
Dave, I think he smashed this. It's really convincing.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's done well there. Because at the start, he's sort of sitting in a chair, staring down the barrel of the camera. They've not got him sat at the press conference desk. So I thought, well, maybe this is like an auto-cue situation or something, and he's reading it, which he may well be. But what he's done really well is he's just dwelled on certain words long enough and repeated them in the style of someone making it up on
the
spot.
That's the Potter way as well. Mm. You know, we've done our training. We've prepared well. And we want to go out there. And it's that Potterian rhythm, isn't it, Charlie, that really comes in handy for him here. Saw him through.
Yeah, the only thing that's like, he's got a slight grin, which that doesn't come across in the audio. But that's, you know, totally understandable as well. You know, it's nice he's enjoying himself. But yeah, other than that, it's very convincing.
Yeah, fair play to
him. Is this in the show or is this just social media?
No, this is a social media sort of marketing stunt on behalf of Ted Lasso. That went out through Chelsea's social media channels. But yeah, fair play to him. It wasn't just he didn't just play ball. He actually probably went for it and nailed it, really, in his own casual kind of way.
Is this the sort of thing that Chelsea fans are going to throw back in his face? The next defeat. Oh, he's too busy doing Ted Lasso.
Too busy doing X, Y, Z that took 4 minutes. Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't have done it during the run of defeats, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Oh, look at that! That is wonderful!
Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés.
Right, welcome back to the adjudication panel. We were talking recently, Charlie, about the universal fan refrain of every fucking time and where it was best deployed. Jack Regan got in touch and reminded me of the slight variation on this, which is how many fucking times, which is a bit more of a kind of sort it out directive rather than you're doing something wrong. It takes on the narrative a bit more. It's just, how many fucking times? Again, where would you deploy this?
I think of how many fucking times, more in a kind of a player commits loads of fouls but keeps getting away without being booked. How many fucking times, ref?
Interesting. Now, this is great. I'm amazed Jack Regan sent this to me, Dave, but here it is. He says, my wife was filming my daughter crawl for one of the first times. A beautiful moment, of course. When in the background, I take exception to yet another foul by a Middlesbrough player on my beloved Leeds without a yellow card being brandished. A family moment that'll now be with us forever.
Is that you?
How many fouls?
Lovely stuff.
Oh, dear.
Very relatable.
It is relatable, but it's an accurate representation of their family dynamic, if anything, Dave. Warts and all, you've got to have it, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, glad he didn't go the full how many fucking times with with the baby in earshot. So there is that, at least.
That would have been too much, wouldn't it? Next up, Nottingham Forest posted a completely innocuous-looking On This Day video, which was a great goal from Adlen Gwediura against Leeds at Elland Road in 2012. I have some bones to pick with the commentary, though. Let's go.
And Gwediura shoots! Oh, that is a thunderbolt from Adlen Gwediura, top corner! What a piece! Gwediura scores his first goal for Forest, 30 yards, and goalkeeper Andy Lonergan never smelt it. That is a magnificent goal from Adlen Gwediura, and Lonergan is still wondering what that little white round thing was that went past him and nearly broke his neck.
Right, bones to pick are as follows, Charlie. Number one, I've never heard the concept of goalkeeper not even smelling a shot as he went past it. If anything, that's the least useful sense of all the five.
He didn't even... I think I may have heard that one. I think that's... He didn't even smell it. Rare, but I think I've heard it. But then it gets even stranger.
He heard it whistle past him. Didn't smell it.
I don't think I've ever heard it. But I think I have heard, like, didn't get a sniff in some sort of football context.
Well, yeah, that's a wider thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a game-wide thing. Lonergan's still wondering what that little white round thing was that's flown past him. That is eerily close to sort of twee Facebook statuses on one of the first glimmers of summer. It says, ooh, what's that big yellow orb in the sky? One of my least favourite Facebook status updates in the golden era, I think.
That time of year.
What are these strange droplets dropping from the sky, Charlie? In summary, how do you feel about it?
I mean, at that point, he's really just going for it. I mean, he's really wanting to ram home the point that the goalkeeper didn't get anywhere near it. I quite respect how much he doubles down. Again, it's a little odd, but is this local? Is this in-house club commentators?
I think it's in-house,
sort of sounds
so
like it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can afford to be a bit more partisan and just, you know, lose any sense of impartiality.
Roma Lips has written in and says, I was watching the Manchester United Fulham match and I heard someone refer to Harrison Reed as a tidy player. What is the definition of a tidy player? Do they have to play in midfield? And who is the tidiest player in the Premier League? Right, let's start at the top here, Dave. This is a nice extension of our handy versus useful chat from Tuesday. Where does tidy fit in that spectrum?
Do you know, the first time that I ever played football with recent cliches returning panellist Jack Lang, I went up to him afterwards and I didn't know him at the time. We'd played in like a match at Vicarage Road, actually. Mm. It was like a media thing. I went, good game, mate. You're really tidy, aren't you? And he was pleased with that, I think. But he is tidy.
He is a tidy player, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a midfield thing, isn't it, Charlie? I don't think tidiness necessarily lends itself to other positions. Certainly not up front. You can't be a tidy striker, can you?
No.
Can you have a tidy finish?
You can have a tidy finish. Mm. You can finish tidily, but I don't think you want to be a tidy striker. You can be a tidy fullback, Charlie.
I mean, there's also the kind of neat and tidy relation of this.
That's the passage of play, isn't it? Neat and tidy football, right? Could you have a neat and tidy player?
No, yeah, because I think you might say, he's neat and tidy, but he's nothing special. About a central midfielder, you know, one of those sort of sideways passes.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's interesting.
Right. It's interesting because you've used it there in a slightly derogatory sort of sense.
Slightly backhanded, isn't it?
But you could emphasise it as, actually, you know what, he's really tidy.
Yeah.
All his passes are crisp, always finds another player.
Mm. I think tidy, yes. I think neat and tidy does generally tend to be a little bit of a backhanded compliment because it suggests there's a ceiling, there's a limit there. Tidy on its own is a bit different.
So core to footballing tidiness clearly is pass completion. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So if we go by that metric alone, the tidiest player in the Premier League is Rodri of Manchester City. 91.2% pass completion.
He's a tidy player.
And I questioned at one point, Charlie, is he too tall to be tidy? But then it came back on itself and I thought it might actually enhance his tidiness because he's tidy for a big man, etc. So maybe that kind of helps, if anything. So, yeah. So he could be the archetypal tidy midfielder.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, that is a good balance, though, because I think he is a bit of a ball winner, though. I think ideally a tidy midfielder is someone who you don't think of as imposing themselves as much as maybe Rodri does.
What about Leon Britton, ex-Swansea?
Yeah, very tidy midfielder.
Yeah.
Because that was all he did. That was his game. You know, he had always the highest pass completion, didn't he, of anyone in the top five leagues or whatever.
Now, Dave, we work for The Athletic and we want to dig deeper than mere pass completion metrics. They don't tell the whole story. So I consulted with, indeed, Michael Cox. And I said, do you think pass completion alone is enough to decide tidiness? And he said, well, you take Rodri, for example. He plays quite a lot of long balls, relatively speaking. He can spray a cross-field pass. And I don't think that can be classified under tidiness. I don't think that really counts. It doesn't matter how easy the pass is, how logical it is. If you play a long pass, it doesn't fall under the umbrella of tidiness. So I went to a secondary metric. Of the most accurate passes in the Premier League, I went to find who had the lowest proportion of long passes out of the total passes attempted. And that came up with Pascal Gross of Brighton, who are the tidiest team in the Premier League, right?
They are.
They are. They're so neat and tidy.
They are a team full of tidy players, yeah.
Yeah. And
exclusively tidy players.
So his pass completion rate is only 84.7, which I fear for his tidiness here. But only 5.2% of his passes are long balls. 8% of Rodri's are long balls. I think there's not enough in it for Gross to trump Rodri as the tidiest player. But he has credentials.
Where do we stand on Jorginho?
Yeah.
Jorginho's
pretty tidy, although he does pass forward, I think, a bit more than people think.
And he takes risks as well.
Yeah, but he generally is.
But does passing forward rule you out of being tidy?
No, I don't think so.
Depends. Like if you're sort of playing through balls and things like that, I think that's a little bit too expressive.
I think length of pass. I think length is more important than direction. You're right. If he's trying to play a killer pass. It's a technical thing as well, I think. It's like he executes the short little snappy passes.
Yeah.
Like Roy Keane would always make a big thing about firing a pass into someone. Tidiness. It's like you're good at crispness. Yeah, it's your stock trade as a midfielder almost. You should be tidy in your work.
All right, Brendan. that was very Rodgers. That was. Anyway, right. A couple of lovely flourishes to end this episode with. Right, we had Sven Botman. That was the high point of random footballers appearing in TV scripts. We had Fernando Torres, which was kind of to the lower range of thrillingness. Here from NUFC Roulette. He says, this has stayed with me from years ago and I've tracked it down. This is from Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Season 6, Episode 2.
So you could be handing over vulnerable women to psychopaths.
Not my problem. They've got the dough, I've got the girls.
Who got Jawoo?
Pretty girl. A lot of guys liked her picture. Let's see. Lucky winner, Howard Kendall.
Howard Kendall has one DV assault, a couple of calls for TWI, plus resisting arrest.
Drunk with a temper, huh? Well, maybe he lost it when he found out Zhao only wanted him for his money.
Can I help you?
Yeah, we're looking for Howard Kendall.
The more they say it, the funnier it gets. The more pathetic I feel.
Oh. I really didn't see that coming.
It's clearly deliberate, Dave. Sure.
It has to be. I was going to say, surely somebody on the writing team's got to be... What? Are they... Well, they could be an Everton fan, or would they? Are they a Liverpool fan having a pop...
Or maybe a disgruntled Athletic Bilbao fan.
They're not painting him in a very flattering light. I wasn't expecting Howard Kendall. I really wasn't.
It just kept coming, Charlie. It was great.
Yeah. You're right. It was exactly that. It just got funnier and funnier. You feel even sillier. But whatever.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. our own little treat. Episode directed, may I add, by David Platt. Incredible stuff. Another string to his bow. Right, finally for today's adjudication panel, this came from Mickey the Mackham, who was listening to the Sunderland podcast, SAFC Unfiltered. And he says, is it just me, or does the interaction here between former Sunderland players Danny Collins and Kieran Richardson sound like people who pretended to like each other at school 10 years ago, but haven't seen each other since, and have now awkwardly bumped into each other in a Sainsbury's?
Welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, Kieran Richardson. Kieran, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Very well, thanks. It's nice to reunite yourself and Danny Collins here as well.
Yes, Dan. Yeah,
it's been a few years, hasn't it? Huh?
Are you working up Sunderland now, yeah?
Well, I work with Frankie Match Days. We do the commentary for the matches on SAFC Live and obviously the podcast. And I'm currently halfway through my A licence, so I'm in a few days a week with the 18s, mate, yeah?
Nice. I'm trying to come up there, I think on the 18th of February, Bristol City at home. I'm trying to watch a game, so... I'll try and get there.
Just the exact cadence. The exact cadence of seeing someone from school. What are you up to these days, mate?
Nice.
Are you living up in London, yeah?
Yeah, coming up on the 18th. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm actually coming up.
We should catch up anyway when I'm there. I'll give you a shout.
Yeah.
Have I got your number? I'll get it off. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Lovely stuff. Good. Natural conversation. Just how it should be.
Better go, mate. Yeah. Better go.
Yeah, anyway, I better crack on. And as should I, actually, Dave. Thanks to you, David Walker, for some sensational adjudication panelling today.
Thank you.
Cheers to you, Charlie Eccleshare.
Thank you.
And we'll be back on Tuesday. See you later.
The Athletic.